Hi, and welcome to the Endo Babe podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Bree. I'm an ultrasound tech turned endometriosis coach, positivity and self-love advocate, a 7 on the Enneagram, and I am a proud dog mom. And I'm on a mission to help you live more positively with endometriosis and be happy in your body. On the Endo Babe podcast, we're going to dive deep into all things endometriosis, mindset, self-love, health, and so much more. This is a badass podcast for badass endo babes, and I want you to leave this podcast feeling inspired and empowered on your own health journey with more confidence and the belief that you too can have more good days than bad. Are you with me, babes? See you in the podcast. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Endo Babe podcast. So today I'm going to be chatting about GABA and how it can help you with your pain. You can rewire your brain to reduce pain signals because your brain is plastic. And that means that it can be changed and you can create new neural pathways. Right? And so this is called neuroplasticity. And since pain is created in the brain, this means that we can actually create new neural pathways away from our pain. But in this episode, I want to chat about neurotransmitters. And what neurotransmitters are is they are essentially the chemical messengers in the brain, and they carry, boost, and balance signals between different neurons, aka nerve cells, to target cells throughout the body. And they target cells that might be in glands or muscles or other neurons in the brain, right? And there are billions of neurotransmitter molecules working constantly to keep our brain and body functioning, right? Managing everything from our breathing to our heartbeat to learning to concentration. But it can also affect a variety of other functions, such as like your fear, mood, pleasure, joy, pain, all of these things. And really the role that I'm going to be chatting about today, or the neurotransmitters that I'm going to be chatting about today, are the two main neurotransmitters in the brain, glutamate and GABA. And why they're important is because they can affect how your body and brain respond to pain signals, right? And so glutamate and GABA, they act inversely, they act opposite. So if one is high, the other's low. And if the other one rises, the other one lowers, right? And so glutamate causes nerves to fire and GABA causes nerves to stop firing, right? So it's kind of like a stop-start neurotransmitter. But in the case of chronic pain, anxiety, depression, things like that, it's been scientifically proven that there's more glutamate in the brain. And what this does is it reduces the amount of GABA that we have in our brain. When there's higher levels of glutamate in the brain, the glial cells create inflammatory cytokines, which expand the pain map in our brain, which expands the pain map in our body. And these glial cells and inflammatory cytokines send signal to the body to release inflammatory cytokines as well, and an inflammatory substance called substance P, right? And so the inflammation in the brain and the body because of these higher levels of glutamate, which just perpetuates the pain cycle that we have between our brain and body. But the cool thing about this is that it's science. So if GABA and glutamate are inverse, if we can increase the amount of GABA that we have in our body, we can decrease the amount of glutamate and in turn soothe those nerves that are overfiring, right? Because the higher levels of glutamate in the brain are causing the nerves to overfire and create inflammatory cytokines and release substance P. And if we can lower the amount of glutamate that we have in our brain, we can increase the amount of GABA, we can soothe those nerves from overfiring, right? And so we can make a conscious effort to counter-stimulate these higher levels of glutamate. And so this is especially important for people that have chronic pain, anxiety, depression, etc. We can make a conscious effort to counter-stimulate by having soothing practices in our daily routine. It's going to help us release more GABA and reduce some of our pain signals, right? And so in doing so, we're going to bring that GABA and glutamate back into balance, right? Because we're not trying to reduce glutamate all the way. We just want them to be a healthy balance. And again, in the case of chronic pain, anxiety, depression, the glutamate is higher. And so we want to bring that down. We want to bring GABA up so they're both kind of around the same level. When we do this, more GABA can be released into our amygdala, which is our emotional brain. and it's actually been scientifically shown to interrupt pain signals when there's more GABA in your amygdala. Right? It's so fucking cool. I love science. It's so fucking cool. Really, like, just understanding this, right? And understanding, like, the disruption in the homeostasis, meaning, like, the disruption in keeping GABA and glutamate kind of relatively equal, right? So one of them is high, one of them's low, really disrupts the excitatory and inhibitory neurons within the central nervous system. But this is crucial in the factor of hyperalgesia, I think is how you say it. But essentially, that just means like an abnormally heightened sensitivity to pain, which is understandable because if you have less GABA and you have more glutamate, that means that your nerves are firing uncontrollably with less ability to soothe themselves and stop those firing, which can create an abnormally heightened sensitivity to pain because your neurons are firing an unbelievable rate, right? And the reason I'm sharing all of this with you is because, like I was saying previously, when we can increase our GABA, we can balance this back out and we can soothe those pain signals. It's so fucking cool, right? So the question becomes, how do we increase GABA to really calm our nervous system down, right? Because that's essentially what it does. It inhibits or slows the nerves or soothes the nerves and stops the nerves from overfiring, right? And in doing so, it can relieve anxiety, reduce stress, improve your sleep, decrease pain signals. Your brain actually releases GABA at the end of every day to help promote sleepiness. So like taking it before bed can also help you sleep better, right? Like there's so many medical benefits to it. I'm just focusing on pain for this episode, right? So how do we do it, right? That becomes the question of the hour. And honestly, like I was saying before, when we can make a conscious effort to counter stimulate by having soothing practices in our day, it's going to release more GABA and in turn reduce some pain signals, right? And so there are an infinite number of soothing strategies that we can do, and it's going to be different for everybody based on your personal experience, what you like, what you don't like, right? But there are four definite proven ways to increase GABA and soothe pain signals. So the first one is to soothe your brain and body with meditation and yoga. And I know it sounds super fucking cliche, like go do yoga to feel better, but it's been proven that in bringing your body into these calming states, like meditation brings your body into that calm state, it actually releases GABA in the brain, right? Like there's been many studies that have shown that meditation and meditative movement practices like yoga or even like Tai Chi, right, have scientifically confirmed benefits, including increasing GABA, decreasing stress, and decreasing anxiety, right? Research has also shown that people who meditate have increased levels of GABA and reduced levels of cortisol, which is your stress hormone, right? So you can de-stress with meditation and yoga. And again, I know it sounds super fucking cliche, but the worst case scenario is you're calm and present with yourself meditating for 5 minutes a day. So that's number one. The second proven way to increase GABA would be to have a consistent movement practice, because that's been shown also to boost GABA, right? And having any kind of movement in your day, whether it be walking, exercising, not only is it helping you relieve stress, right, and increasing endorphins, which are the happy hormones, it actually increases GABA signals in the brain, right? And there has been studies that have shown that if you do it every now and then, it doesn't have as good of benefits as having a consistent movement routine, right, to increase your GABA levels over time. I think over time is a good point to make because nothing happens overnight, right? And so doing something consistently and having that consistency over time is what is going to help increase those GABA levels naturally over time. Right, number three would be eating foods that contain GABA or support its production in your body, right? So GABA is produced in your brain from glutamate, right? And it's generally abundant in the human diet, but it's really high in aged, cured, preserved foods like cheeses and preserved, cured meats, other meats and poultries, bone broths, fish, eggs, mushrooms, tomatoes, broccoli, walnuts, soybeans, right? There's a whole bunch of different foods that are really high in it, but in addition to glutamate, your brain also requires vitamin B6 to help synthesize GABA. So another way to support its production would be to increase your intake of vitamin B6 with a multivitamin or B complex supplement, or with foods, right, like spinach and broccoli, Brussels sprouts, garlic, bananas. Those are all really high in vitamin B6 and help to synthesize GABA, right, because GABA is synthesized from glutamate. So it helps create more GABA from the glutamate. And I mean, honestly, there are some foods that contain GABA. I mean, from the research that I've done, it's not really 100% sure if that GABA crosses the blood-brain barrier, right? But some of the foods that contain GABA themselves, right, are like fish and shellfish and beans and lentils and potatoes and tomatoes and seaweed and berries, a whole bunch of different things. So, I mean, basically just eating like whole, like the ancestral diet, basically, which is almost close to paleo, not as restrictive. Just eating things that our ancestors used to eat, right, which are whole foods, eating animal products, nose to tail, all of the really good foods that contain lots of micronutrients that our body needs to sustain life and to help create these hormones and these help create neurotransmitters and help do all of these things that are essential for life, right? Fermented foods are also rich in probiotics, right? And because GABA can also be synthesized in the gut by bacteria, eating fermented foods that are really good for our little, for our gut, gut bugs, I'm going to call them, that's what Christia, the dietitian, calls them, can help synthesize more GABA as well. And number four, you can use herbs that help support GABA production, herbs and supplements, right? I do have to say, like, before you try any supplement, always talk with a doctor, because a lot of supplements can interact with other medications that you're taking. So it's always good just to check with a doctor before taking anything. But there are certain herbs that are considered GABA activators, right, that can help support your brain's natural production of GABA, such as ashwagandha, right, which is an Ayurvedic herb that contains compounds that are thought to activate GABA. Lemon balm is traditionally consumed as a tea, right? And it has calming properties and it contains other things that may increase GABA. Passion flower, valerian is a long traditionally used sleep aid. It can help increase GABA. Kava. Oh my god, I'm probably butchering all of these words. Sorry, guys. Kava is also consumed as a relaxing tea. And it has GABA activating compounds in it. And I mean, like, supplements, GABA is also available as a dietary supplement, right? And it can help promote deep, restful sleep without many side effects from the research I've read. But again, just talk to your doctor before taking anything. I just thought this was so interesting because I know a lot of the time we're told that our pain is in our head, right? And I don't know if you listen to my medical gaslighting one, but that's like one of my favorite responses is, of course my pain is created in my head, but I'm feeling it in my body, you know? And going to the source, my pain is created in my brain, I'm going to the source to help balance out these neurotransmitters, to help decrease my nerves from overfiring, to help soothe my pain. I know, like I was saying earlier, finding soothing practices to help your body feel safe and help you like calm down can be really beneficial, and I know it's going to be different for everybody. I know smelling peppermint has been known to boost GABA, putting ice on your body to help, like, well, that's more of like a shocking technique to bring your brain and body back together, But there are lots of different soothing techniques. Just do what works for you. It doesn't really matter what everybody else does. Figure out what works for you. It's the same thing with everything endometriosis related, right? Like, it's unique to all of us. We all have our own unique healing needs, and figuring out what works for you and your body is what's necessary. I hope that this was helpful, and I'll catch you on the next episode of the EndoBabe podcast.
Oh, babe, thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I had so much fun and I'm so fucking grateful for every single one of you. If you thought that this was helpful or you loved any part of this podcast, I would love, love, love for you to screenshot it and post it on Instagram at Chelsea Bree, ChelseaBri, and tag me. I would love to see what you're getting out of the episodes. It makes me so happy. I would also love it if you'd subscribe to the podcast and leave a review, because that just helps other wonderful endo babes find me as well. I adore you, and I believe that you don't deserve to feel like shit. You deserve to have a normal life despite endometriosis. So I love you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you on next week's episode of the EndoBabe podcast.